Let's turn together in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll also be looking in the back of our Psalter hymnals at Lord's Day 43 in just a moment. But first, let's read our text from Ephesians 4. And we'll start at verse 25 and read down to verse 32. So Ephesians chapter 4, that's where we find our text. Ephesians 4, starting at verse 25, and that's found on page 1161. Ephesians 4, starting at verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And that's as far as reading here in Ephesians 4. Then if you'd like to turn with me in the back of your songbooks as we're looking at Lord's Day 43, if you are visiting with us as a congregation, we are in the middle of a series through the Ten Commandments. So we've come to the ninth commandment. Ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness. You shall not bear false witness. That's our ninth commandment consideration for today. But let's read from Lord's Day 43, and that's found on page 893 in the back of our songbooks. Let's respond with the answer together, a question and answer 112. What is God's will for you in the ninth commandment? That I never give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone rashly or without a hearing. Rather, I should avoid, under penalty of God's wrath, every kind of lying and deceit as the very works of the devil, and in court and everywhere else, I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it. And I should do what I can to defend and advance my neighbor's honor and reputation. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of His Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is truth? This pivotal question asked by Pilate sets the stage for our sermon today. What is truth? Why is truth so important? Why is it that we as Christians are to love, speak, and defend the truth? Well, today, as we come to the ninth commandment, we find our speech front and center. Currently, if you've been watching the news, there's a national debate on free speech. Can you say whatever you want to say? Does the First Amendment guarantee the right to say whatever you want without consequence? And many people would even believe that the First Amendment gives them the right to tell lies. More specifically, do we as Christians have the right to say whatever we want? Even though we have freedom of speech, are we free to say whatever we want? Now, children, there's a very common phrase that you may have heard many times. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Well, the next line goes like this. Liar, liar, pants on fire, nose as long as a telephone wire. That last part of the phrase is connected to Pinocchio. Kids, you remember the story of Pinocchio? Every time that Pinocchio told a lie, his nose would grow a little bit more. Even today in the political sphere, there is what is called the Pinocchio Award given to someone who is a politician and tells baseless lies. Well, let me ask you this question today. If your nose grew every time you told a lie, how long would your nose be? It is very easy for us to turn on the news and say, well, obviously that guy's lying. That guy is just way out there. But how about us? Do we speak the truth? Do we love the truth and speak it openly? Well, today we're going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ redeems us from the life of deceit so that we might be people of truth. Jesus Christ redeems us from the life of deceit so that we might be people of truth. And our first point, we start at the foundation of this particular command. Now, as you know, there are two kingdoms in the world in which we live, evident in darkness or evident in light. The division between these two kingdoms is very clearly evident in our reading from John 8. John 8, verse 44, Jesus says that the devil is a murderer. He has nothing to do with the truth. There is no truth in him. The devil speaks lies as his native tongue. He is the father of lies and deceitful in all his ways. The devil is identified as the first liar who tempted Adam and Eve into sin with his lies. The lie that the devil told is this: you will not surely die. The lie that the devil told is a direct contradiction to the word of truth. And if Adam and Eve had simply remembered and believed what was true, they would never have fallen into sin. So we could say that believing the lie and speaking lies is really the foundation or the source from which our corruption comes forth. Lying is at its core a rebellion against God, because God calls himself the God of truth. So anything that is not true is contrary to God. It is impossible for God to lie. So lying is a mark of the kingdom of darkness. Where Jesus says, I read that earlier from John 8, verse 32, being my disciple means that you not only hear the truth, but that you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Knowing the truth means that you know God, that you know his word, and in knowing God, there is liberty, light, and life. So the contrast between these two kingdoms manifests itself in darkness and in light, in death and deceit, life and liberty, in lying and in truth. So why is this particular commandment so significant? Because it is making a distinction between those who are children of the devil and those who are children of God. In other words, if you are a child of God, you will hate deceit. You will hate the lie. Because the lie is firmly in the camp of the devil. And it leads to nothing but bondage and death. I'll put it this way. How you speak is a sign of which kingdom you are a member of. Your speech reveals where your allegiance is. And Jesus says very clearly, the truth will set you free. Well, what is the lie? The lie is that you are self-sufficient. The lie is that you can do it by yourself. The lie is that you are a master of your own life. You are the captain of your own ship. You determine what is right. You determine what is good. And you need no one and nothing else. You are fine, you are good, you are self-sufficient. That is the lie. Where the truth is, you are born in sin. You are on your way to hell. And there is only one way, one source of salvation, one person through whom you might be saved, one name given under heaven by which you can be saved, and that's not your name, that's the name of Jesus Christ. The truth is that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. No one who comes to Jesus will be turned away. That's the truth. And if you know the truth and you believe the truth, you will be free. So why is the truth so important? Because the truth tells us what is real. Why do you need to speak the truth to your neighbors? Because you want your neighbors to know what is true. Let me ask you this. Is it more loving to lie to your neighbor or to tell your neighbor what is true? Children, I know I tell this example quite often, but if your neighbor's house is on fire, is it loving for you to let your neighbor remain in ignorance, even though his house is on fire? Or is it more loving to tell your neighbor the truth? Hey, your house is on fire. You should do something about that. You need to get out. You need to flee the coming wrath. What's more loving? The truth is loving, because the truth opens the door to salvation. Specifically, this commandment is dealing with speaking the truth in a general sense, but more specifically with speaking the truth to your neighbor in the context of the judicial system. You shall not bear false witness. Now, children, bearing false witness has to do with someone who is being accused of a crime, being brought before a judge, and there is a witness who is called up. This particular individual is standing before the judge, and a witness is brought before the judge, and the judge is going to ask this witness, what happened? Is this person who is being accused, is he guilty or is he innocent? And the reason this commandment is so important is because if the witness lies, deceives, either one of two things will happen. Either the guilty will not be punished, and the murderer will be set free to go on and murder someone else, or someone who is innocent will be wrongly condemned. If they're not telling the truth, someone who is guilty will be set free, or someone who is innocent will be wrongly condemned. So this commandment says you have to tell the truth. You have to be a person of the truth for the sake of your neighbor and for the sake of your relationship to God. Because without truthful witnesses, the judicial system will not work. We find an example of this in 1 Kings 21, the very well-known example of Naboth and his vineyard. Children, do you remember Naboth? He had that vineyard that was really close to King Ahab's, a garden that was real close to King Ahab's palace. And now King Ahab wanted this vineyard. He wanted the garden because it was close to his house. But Naboth rightly understood that this vineyard was his inheritance from God. Naboth refused to sell his vineyard or to give his vineyard to the king. Well, in order to get something that he wanted, King Ahab, in conspiracy with Jezebel, hires false witnesses, and Jezebel hires two men to falsely accuse and condemn Naboth. Naboth was wrongly convicted and killed because of these false witnesses at the instruction of Jezebel. As you can see, the tongue is a powerful thing. It is a great power, either for good or for ill. So as God's people, we need to be dedicated to the truth, because we show the character of God in us and through our words when we speak the truth. Well, now that we understand the foundation of this particular commandment, let's push on to see how we are to avoid lying in all its parts. What speech patterns are contrary to the truth? Well, our question answer 112 says that we are to never give false testimony or twist someone's words. If you still have your Bibles open, I encourage you to look with me at Ephesians 4, where we find three different examples of speech that is condemned. Wrong ways to speak. three of them given here in a reading from Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 25 says, beginning, "Put away falsehood." Put away falsehood. Now, falsehood is fake speech. It's lying, deceiving. The word here in the Greek is pseudo. Think pseudoscience. Pseudoscience is where a quack is selling snake oil, fake solutions, not true science. So what is a pseudo word? A pseudo word is a false word. It is a fake word. It leads against reality. Pseudo speech is calling something white what is actually black. It is calling something good that is actually evil. Pseudo speech is calling a woman who is actually a man. That is pseudo speech, falsehood. God's people have no part in that. We don't use our words to speak lying, to deceive, to say something that is not true. Added to this falsehood, we find in verse 29, corrupting talk. Corrupting. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Corrupting talk is literally rotten words. Rotten words. A few weeks ago, I picked some apples, and in this 5-gallon pail, I have my apples sitting, and I was digging through them the other day, and you know what I found? Rotten apples at the bottom. There's a hidden one that was rotting there, and you take it out, and it stinks, and it's got flies buzzing around. Sometimes our speech is like that. Rotten speech. The people who hear it are not better off. It says here in the context, the opposite of building up speech is a tearing down speech. It's rotten. The people who hear it are worse off for it. Your words smell like dead animals. We could call it, it's skunk speech. It's unprofitable for the people who hear it. It has no place in our lives. Interestingly, in this particular context, in Ephesians 4, Paul is weaving together the dangerous aspect of anger. You look at here at verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin." Is it not true that anger is often the root of bad speech? Isn't that true, husbands, fathers? That when we become angry, we lose the bridle on our lips. We say things when we are angry that we shouldn't say. We allow corrupting speech to come out of our mouth because we are angry. Here Paul says, be careful when you are angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. Don't let any corrupting speech come out of your mouth. As most moms have told their children, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all. Continuing then, we have the third kind of speech we are to avoid. That's in verse 31. At the end here, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander." Slander is the third kind of wicked speech that we are to avoid. Now, slander is directly connected to our word for blasphemy. Now, when we hear blasphemy, we rightly think it's taking God's holy name and dragging it through the mud. Blasphemy is taking something that is holy and treating God's holy name as if it was insignificant, something which is common and doesn't have any worth or weight. But here Paul applies this concept to the way that we speak to our neighbors or about our neighbor's name. Slander is when you take the good name of your neighbor and you drag it through the mud. When you are not recognizing the worth and value of your neighbor's name, you are slandering his name, breaking him down, belittling him, making him low in the sight of others. Connected to slander is gossip. If you still have your catechism open, question and answer 112. Do not gossip or slander, our question and answer says. We are to twist no one's word, not gossip or slander. What is gossip? Gossip is saying something that may be true, but for reasons contrary to the good of your neighbor. Gossiping betrays confidence. Gossip shares information that is not yours to share. Proverbs 26 says that gossip is like a delicious morsel that you take into your mouth and then it turns in your belly. Gossiping is a whisper that betrays trust. If someone ever comes up to you and says, "I'm not sure if I should tell you this, but," you should hold up your hand and say, "You shouldn't tell me that." If this isn't information that is going to be useful for building others up, then you shouldn't be telling me this. Everyone likes a good story and everyone likes to share his new information, but if the intent of your story is to harm or discredit your neighbor without cause, you are slandering your neighbor's name. You are not giving your neighbor the respect that he deserves. Psalm 34, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. So this particular commandment is focusing on the sins of the mouth, the sins of speech. Interestingly, Scripture will say, how can we praise God with our lips one moment and then curse our neighbor the next? How could we do such a beautiful thing with our speech one moment? I mean, right here we're sitting in church and we're singing glory to God. And tomorrow morning we're going to our various jobs and we use the same tongue that we use to glorify God, to slander, to gossip, to belittle our neighbor. Or to use our words for unprofitable, corrupting speech. Lies create division. Lies sow chaos and deceit. Lies come from a heart that is at its very self, it's selfish. Because lies come when the truth is inconvenient. We tell lies in order to make ourselves look good and others to look bad. Lies come from a heart that is fearful of men, afraid of what other people think of us. So we are to avoid lying, bad, wicked words, in all of its aspects. Because God has set us free. We are liberated from the kingdom of darkness. We're no longer in the devil's camp. Right? The devil is the liar, the deceiver, the murderer from the beginning. Lying is how the world speaks. We should not be surprised when worldly people lie. Because they are in the kingdom of darkness. They're just following their father, the devil. That's not where we are anymore, brothers and sisters. We're in the kingdom of truth, the kingdom of life. So our speech is to reflect this. So we are to know what we should not say, but also what we should say. I had a grade school teacher, and this particular teacher encouraged me to write lines, and I still remember those lines. There is a time to speak and a time to be silent. I must learn to know the difference. Well, for us, there is a time to speak and a time to be silent. This particular commandment is not saying don't ever talk, but it's saying use your speech properly, rightly. Well, let's pursue all truth then with how we speak. Question answer 112. I am to love the truth and speak it freely. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we say things that we shouldn't say, but other times we are silent when we should talk. Sometimes we fail to speak when we should say something. Sometimes we're too afraid of men to speak the truth and to recognize what is true. Speaking the truth sounds easier than it is. Fallen man suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. Others, like Pilate, question, what is truth? What is a woman? What is right? What is wrong? But as Christians, we know the truth, and we should speak it clearly. God's people are not confused. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. We know the truth because God has revealed the truth to us. What is truth? Your word is truth. This is truth. You want to know what the truth is? It's right here. And we should love this word and speak this word openly. But the Bible also tells us how we are to speak the truth. It is not just enough to speak the truth, we're to speak the truth rightly. Still, if your Bible's open, look at Ephesians 4, verse 15. We are to speak the truth in love. How are you to speak the truth? Motivated by love. You're not using the truth as a baseball bat to whack your neighbor on the head. You're speaking the truth in love. You love your neighbor. That's why you're speaking the truth. Yes, bold, courageous, but from a loving heart. 1 Peter 3 adds this. Be ready to give a defense for the hope in your heart, yet give this defense with, remember how the verse continues? With gentleness and respect. So yes, speak the truth, but with gentleness and respect. Respectful, gentle, like a parent speaking to their little children, explaining what is true, what is right, and why this is important. And one more from our reading from Ephesians 4, verse 29. Our words are to be useful for building others up. Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupting mouth come out of your mouth, but rather what is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Building up gracious words that benefit those who hear. And then one more, Colossians 4, let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you might know how to answer each person. So when you speak the truth and you speak it in love with gentleness and respect, building others up, your speech is not breaking people down. It's not slandering. It's gossiping. It's talking people up. It's encouraging them. It's building them up so that when people hear your words, they are better off. One of the things that struck me this past couple weeks was at the mission conference, I believe, is that one of the questions we should ask ourselves each day is, Lord, what do you have for me to do today? What is the purpose that you have for me today, Lord? One of the things God can do through us every day is using our speech to build people up, to encourage people, to bless people. That everywhere you go, your words are the fragrance of Christ, if you will. So when they hear you, they hear the echoes of Christ in your words. Because the fact is, brothers and sisters, we have a message that the world needs to hear. We have good news that the world desperately needs to hear. Why do we need to be truthful and consistent in being people of the truth? It's because when we have the truth to share, we want people to listen. Children, you probably remember that story of the boy who cried wolf. There was a young man who was out in the field, and he kept crying, there's a wolf, there's a wolf, and all the townspeople would come, and they would get ready to protect the sheep from this wolf. This boy was lying. And eventually, a wolf did come, and the boy cried, there's a wolf, and the townspeople thought, well, he's lying, and they did nothing. And the wolf consumed the flock. In a similar way, if Christians are inconsistent, if sometimes we're truthful and sometimes we're not truthful, people won't listen to us. They won't believe us. Our character is to be one of consistent integrity. We mean what we say, and we say what we mean. Our speech is to be the instrument by which we tell others what is true. Even as John 4 reminds us, God is seeking worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. Why would people listen to us if we don't say what is true? So we love the truth, and we want other people to know the truth, because it's in the truth that people are set free. True speech is the means by which we are delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and we show ourselves as having been set free from deceit and lie. Interestingly, preaching is the means, the tool that God has chosen to produce faith in our hearts. That's in Romans 10. You hear the truth spoken in speech. God has given us preaching as the tool by which he produces faith in our hearts. So may we, as God's people, be speaking the truth, because the speech is a powerful weapon. The tongue, James says, is like a spark. It can set a whole world, a forest on fire, but it's also a rudder that can steer a ship safely to harbor. As our theme states, Jesus Christ redeems us from the life of deceit so that we might be people of the truth. Even though we live in a country that has free speech, that does not mean that we are free to say whatever we want, but rather we are to be people who speak the truth in love. So may we all learn to speak the truth in love as we reflect the God who is the God of truth. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and for the constant reminder that we find in your word to be people of truthful speech. Forgive us when we have sinned with our speech. Forgive us when we have not been a people who love the truth and speak it openly. Help us to go forth in this next week in such a way that we show in our speech that we belong to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.